We started Sunday, Holy Advent. As you know well, Advent is for the preparation of the feast of Christmas. We will have Mass here at Christmas, approximately about 12:30. Lest I forget, we will have Mass here on Wednesday next week, which is the feast of the Immaculate Conception. We will have Mass here at, if we say, 11 or 12 noon. I'm sorry I cannot have it in the evening, but it seems that there are so many more people that have to be considered in Louisville, and so you'll have to pardon me if we cannot be here at a more convenient hour for you. I urge you to remember that Mary Ann doesn't know it, but she has a national reputation for being a child with the most audible voice throughout the country. As you know, I've heard a lot of little babies during the time of sermons, but right now she is the most memorable. I don't challenge the oncoming generation, though, to best that. As you know, we are supposed to prepare for Christmas, but the token mortification and sacrifices that the Church urges us to make during Advent are not only preparatory for the feast, nor are they some kind of psychological trick or technique whereby we enjoy the feast days better. Primarily, the purpose of any kind of self-imposed mortification is in order, first of all, to do something special in honor of our Lord, and to do special penance. In this particular case, we're supposed to think of the possibility, very realistically, of our meeting Christ, either at our death or at His second coming, which Christmas is an announcement of, is really a pre-celebration of. We also do these penances in atonement for our sins, for the sins of the past, as well as to implore Almighty God for the grace not to sin as much in the future. I want to emphasize this evening to you, my dear people, what you know, but what it is for me to say, that we're not supposed to sin. We're not supposed to be laden with faults. We're not supposed to be, just for an example, remembered for our faults. I mean that, as you probably can imagine, or as you can realize if you think of certain other people, when you think of those people, and perhaps when they think of you, it is false. You are identified by your faults, perhaps by your outstanding noisome idiosyncrasies. Whereas you should be remembered for the sweetness of your personality, for the gentleness and mastery of yourself, and for the charity that you manifest. And even above that, by your undeniable fervor and love of our Lord. I urge you, therefore, to think very seriously of what you might do if you were to receive an announcement that you will not celebrate another Christmas after this year's, or that you will not even live to the new year. Ask yourself what you would do. I imagine that you would become more reflective and you might be a little bit more serious about your life. I can easily imagine that you would see things in yourself that you had not noticed, because you begin to think of yourself as being viewed by Christ at the judgment, which your faith teaches you is going to happen either immediately after your death or when Jesus comes at the parousia, when there will be a general judgment. Our problem is, as you surely know, that we enjoy the world and we spend a great deal of time enjoying it or planning to do so, and we take great pains not to suffer. We are, you might say, hardly up from the table, and we are going to make sure that we don't forget the next meal. We are not uncomfortable very long before we move to make ourselves comfortable. We are not cold very long before we do something to be warm. And we don't get very tired before everything else has to wait until we rest. All these things are in consideration of ourselves. And as you know well, we are willing to cause a lot of people a lot of inconvenience in order that our lives might not be too much interfered with. Not only that, the world is very attractive to us, and people don't think of us as being outstandingly opposed to it. They don't think of us as they thought, for instance, of St. Peter of Alcantara, who simply warred on the world by warring on his own flesh. They don't think of us as they, even to this very day, think of St. Francis of Assisi, who was determined that he was going to be as poor as Christ and to show the whole world that it was the happiest form of living. They don't think of us as they thought of St. Peter or St. Paul, because when they thought of them, they thought of the church. They thought of two men who just might cause such distress throughout the Roman Empire that they had simply to be exterminated, just because of the truth that they went around and told about how they had seen one who had risen from the dead and who said that all must do things his way if they would live eternally in heaven and in happiness. But most people probably think of us the way they think of most other people, many of whom are just nice people, harmless and nondescript, lackluster, but not anything outstanding. And yet no one in heaven is not a person of rather gigantic proportion morally. There's no one in heaven who is just plain, who is mediocre. There's no one in heaven who is not perfectly pure and innocent, and the very soul of charity, who, if anyone meets such a person on earth, knows that he is not of this earth. There's no one in heaven who does not live constantly with the burning desire to have a greater power to love the most holy Trinity. So I urge you, take Advent seriously, and do not just anticipate the celebrations of Christmas, but rather think of how unworthy you are to have Jesus born to you, and decide that you're going to be better by the time Christmas arrives than you are today. The kinds of mortifications I urge you to are little things, but to us they're big things. They can make us irritable, such as giving up sweets or not eating as much, not smoking as much, not being so concerned about our comfort in this way or that. But more positively, I urge you to say some prayers more faithfully. If you do not say the rosary faithfully, well, do it at least during Advent every day. And if you do not read the scriptures, well, at least read a few verses every day. I don't ask very much, because I have no authority to impose anything. But it would be unfitting of me and unworthy of you were I not to urge you to something generous and you not to comply by your own imaginative offering.